And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The gang is all here. Darren McFarlane, that's me. Willie Donick.
What up?
That's him. The Suits.
Chase.
People of Nashville, how we doing?
Maccababe. Maxers. Man in the board. Here at the Hillside Medical Game Studio, we are awaiting Predators GM David Poile. He is going to have to move a little bit earlier, so he is just now called in. So let's say hello and good morning to David. David, how you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing good. It's a little bit busy here, but all good.
Thanks for doing this. I'm sure you're going on vacation a little bit later today. Everything's done. So where are you going, Spain?
I should get an invitation to the wedding.
You should, yes.
So yes, I kind of feel like I should do this.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you're going to do, but I think I do know what you're going to do.
I mean, you know, David, I told you last time we talked I was going to call you in a few weeks just to see how things were going with Forsberg. I figured I'd let you work and get it done, and you finally did that, so congratulations. But What was kind of this process like? I brought it up in the press conference. Was it maybe more difficult than you thought it would be going into it? Because I know negotiations are never easy, but when it's someone that has spent his whole career here, I know that you were determined to try and make this happen. So what ultimately led to getting this deal done?
Giving him more money.
It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
I've tried to do that with my bosses too. It hadn't worked yet, so maybe Philip can give me some pointers.
You got to be persistent. I'm being a little bit smart here, but it is about, let's face it, the length of contract, the 8 years. He believed, and he wanted that, and that totally was in our favor, because going elsewhere he could only get seven years. The no trade, no movement part of it was very important to him. The amount was important. So, you know, it's a lot of discussion. I mean, I just, you know, could it have been done, you know, earlier? I'm not really sure. I mean, in this free agent period, there's a lot of things that go on. I mean, his agency, CEA, and specifically J.P. Berry, who was his agent there, they do a great job. They got a lot of high-end clients. They're well plugged in throughout the league, and I think he knew what he probably could get, you know, elsewhere. So, you know, just a little bit of a battle back and forth. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, as I said yesterday, is that I don't think anybody ever got to the point, like we're going in a different direction. I was getting, more cautious as we're getting close to it, because, we talked about what would we do if we didn't sign Philip. I mean, we needed to, start preparing, possibly if that was going to happen. And yesterday I sort of said too, when I was asked, you said earlier you had plan A, B, C, and D. And then I said yesterday, well, that's just more general manager talk, and that, our only plan really was with Philip. So again, I'm giving you a lot of double talk here, I guess. And it's just at the end of the day, it's just, come on, we got to do that. And I think both sides found that to be the timing. From their side, when I didn't trade Philip, for example, at the trading deadline, which was never the intention because we're having a competitive year, the balance of, I guess you could say, power probably fell into their side a little bit, and that they had to work between trading deadline and July 12th to make a deal with us, and they probably used that to their advantage.
With that being said, David, is it safe to say throughout the course of the season that both sides were content with just, I don't know if gambling is the right word, but just content letting the season play out and see where the chips fall?
I would have rather have had Philip sign, during the year last year for sure. I mean, because I could have possibly, with that in hand and knowing what I had going forward, maybe done something at the trading deadline. If we maybe had done something, after the season was over, it might have allowed me to maybe enter into you know, some other discussions on trades, or even as we're, you know, working hard on free agency, might have changed things a little bit. You just never know. It's good talk to have, but you know, we are where we are, and we're glad that we have Philip, and we got to move on, and we got to see if there's anything that's available to us that is a fit now in free agency.
I've been a part of negotiations, not for a $68 million deal, fully guaranteed, but somebody has to blink in these negotiations, especially when you're on the clock in this case. So ultimately, somebody had to come off their stance, right? So how did that play out where you had the deal over the weekend? Somebody had to come off the deal. How did that work?
I would say the correct answer is we both came off our positions. And that's usually how deals are made.
And met in the middle.
Possibly.
Man, the deal is done, you still won't give us any nuggets. Why was it time to move on from Luke Cunningham? You did that in Montreal. You made that move in Montreal.
Yeah, that was a tough one also, a little unfortunate. I mean, we really liked so much about Lou in terms of his character, how he played hard or what have you. But the production wasn't there. Now, I fully expect that he'll probably have a rebound year. The thing was that the second line, of which Luke was a part of most of the year, just couldn't provide what we needed. And, you know, and just talking with our coaches and our management staff in terms of where he was going to fit in, I don't think it was going to be a good fit for Luke as to where we saw him playing. Now, it might have been a good fit for us, but I think he sees himself in a higher position than we're probably willing to give him this year based on last year. So, you know, we've got, you know, young kids like, you know, Jeannot and Trennan, for example, and maybe some others that are Tomasino that probably deserve to possibly play higher up in the lineup. And that was probably the main reason is that we just, you know, you're playing a guy in the top six when you trade for him, and most of all last year, and when you didn't have that in mind, at least for the start of the year, it felt that we might be better if we went in a different direction, and it might be better for him to go in a different direction.
Talking to David Poile, Predators general manager, and David, yesterday the qualifying offers were sent out to the other restricted free agents you had. Yakov Trennan obviously is a guy that has a pretty firm, strong role, had a really good season last year. How do you view him? He's a guy that you have to sign, and you've used different tactics, of course, when you've got core players, draft picks that are ready for that next contract. What are your thoughts on him?
Much different than, you know, Philip. And again, this is the collective bargaining agreement and difference between Philip being unrestricted and Trennan being a restricted free agent. So we qualified him yesterday. We've had lots of discussions. I mean, from a one-year contract to a multi-year contract. And, of course, the obvious is we haven't agreed on what the fair compensation is. So now we can continue to have discussions on anything, which could include a one-year deal or could include a multi-year deal. He could accept his qualifying offer, or he could take us to arbitration, which would be a one- or two-year decision there, and we have it's up to us to decide whether we want to go for 1 or 2 years. So it's basically, since we qualified him, it's done. We, without having the number or the years, we have a contract with him. So that's a good thing, and now it would be nice to just to get it done. So I'm okay however this works out, whether it's a 1 year deal or if it's a multi-year deal. I feel confident in Yak and what he can do. I also think there's, you know, even more of an upside. The way he played last year was terrific. He had a really good year. He scored some goals. He played physical for us, and he's just a good player. But it's sort of my line to you guys all the time. We're just in the negotiation, and you know, you wish everything was done as you referred at the beginning. It'd be nice to take a few days off here, but we got like four more guys to sign because of the qualifying offers yesterday.
David, as you look ahead, I can remember sometimes during free agency and also during the trade deadline, you come on a show like ours to say, look, the prices weren't the way we like them. The prices were high. There's a supply and demand element every year. I'm curious what you think right now as you sort of carve out your budget to attack free agency here. You guys have said that you'd like to find maybe a top six forward. you have a budget, you know, I guess a ballpark, what you have ready to spend. It looks to me like there's a lot of possibilities out there, more so than some years. Maybe not at the very, very top. We'll see what happens in this last 24-hour period if some other guys are signed. But how do you like your options, maybe, to improve the roster?
Well, this too is complicated, even more complicated than the Forsberg negotiations. Let's start with the salary cap. We're in a situation coming out of COVID where we've made a deal with the Players Association in terms of their salaries and payback and all that stuff, that the cap is only going up $1 million this year, and it's only going up $1 million for the next 2 years. So we, and along with all the other clubs, are kind of hard-pressed to, you know, either letting guys go or not giving raises or, you know, trying to do all of those various and different things. For us, we have some money to spend on a forward in free agency, but a long-term contract is probably not in the cards, because when I look to next year, the following year, 23-24, where the salary cap only goes up a year, we have a number of players' contracts that are up next year, whether it be Carrier, Fabro, Janot, you know, Trennan, just to mention four young guys. So they're coming off of, most of those guys are coming off of entry-level contracts, and as they keep playing the way they did last year, they're not just going to get a raise, they're going to get a substantial raise. So I can't oversign, I guess if that is the word, I could do it this year to get to the cap, but if I sign somebody to a multi-year deal, then something's going to have to give next year.
David Poile, Predators General Manager, is with us here on the DDC. I'm curious if you've had a chance to, I know you've obviously been busy with your team, but I think we're all a little surprised that Barry Trotz doesn't appear to be coaching this year. Have you talked to him at all about kind of what he's thinking and what could potentially happen with his future?
Yeah, I've talked to Barry a couple times. He was actually in Nashville about a month ago, and he's just doing a lot of, you know, traveling. They're doing a lot of family things, you know, right now. And, you know, he's the one who came out and said he's going to take the year off, and good for him. I mean, I could certainly see that. You know, after you've been at it so many consecutive years, I see somebody like John Tortorella took the year off, and he certainly didn't lose his spot in terms of getting a good coaching position with Philadelphia, and compensation was, you know, very, very good. So, you know, I think Barry just needs a little bit of time, you know, talking to him, and I think he's happy where he's at.
How did we haven't talked to you? How'd the Ryan McDonough thing come together? Was it something that was on your radar, or was that out of nowhere?
No, that was out of nowhere. I got a call from Ryan's agent. I can't put the days together. Let's say it's Sunday in the afternoon, and just saying that McDonough was going to be traded or put on waivers, or they just had to get out of it. You know, I called Julien Brisebois, the general manager. He confirmed it. So I said, let me think about that. Monday morning in the office, we just talked about it. I mean, it's nothing about the player. It was all about his, you know, his salary, his cap, 4 years, and fitting this in and doing things going forward, all those type of things. And we just jumped on it based on, you know, knowing Ryan a little bit from my USA hockey days, obviously knowing him as a hockey player, having a Stanley Cup winner, how he plays, how he competes, the leadership part of it. It solidified our defense. We don't have much coming in our defense, with all due respect. So now we've got three high-end guys with Roman, Ecky, and McDonough. We got some good young guys with, you know, Fabro, Carrier, Lausanne, and we still got Mark Borowicki. So I love our goaltending with Juice. I love our defense. So it was a quick decision, but I think obviously it was for us a real good, solid decision. And I think we're going to get some great benefits for having McDonough on our team.
Interesting. Before we let you go, real quick, again, haven't had a chance to run these things by you. Everything we saw with the pick at 17 with Kimmel, that everybody thought that this was kind of a steal, that they thought he was going to go earlier. Was it a surprise for you guys as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The you know, when you're drafting 17, and I'm going to try to say this correctly too, is that we didn't spend a huge amount of time on the top, say, four players. We were like the other clubs. As you see the order, this Shane Wright was supposed to go first, and he went fourth. And we had the same four players there, but we didn't dwell on them. We didn't talk a lot. Like, I knew we weren't trading for the first pick or what have you. So when you're 17, and then we had Kemmel, I think he was rated like seventh. And, you know, the guys, believe me, scouts don't spend any time on it. But when I was in and out of the meetings and talking about guys, we were talking about guys further back. So when this came about, it was huge. I mean, again, in 25 years of the Predators, we had David Leguan as the second pick. I think we had Seth Jones as the fourth pick, and it was Brian Finley 1 year, fifth pick. Out of 25 years, we've never ever got a drafted player in the top 10, nor have we even had one of our players rated that we got in the top 10. Let's hope this guy is the goal scorer we think he is.
No doubt. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Have a great summer. I know you've got more work to do, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it as always. Predators General Manager David Poile joining us on the program. Good way to start the show. We'll come back and react on the other side here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app.